What a great song, and I think you'll see in just a minute that it's going to actually share some of the same thoughts that I have this morning as we prepare to gather around the table. If you want to follow along, I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. It says, "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered throughout the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let the Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the path of life, and you will make full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all of the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So Peter is standing here with the 11 apostles, and he delivers the first gospel sermon. He's explaining to all those that are gathered there what was happening. All of them were hearing what was being taught in their own language. All of them were able to understand what was being spoken. And he explains to them that this is the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. God had promised that the Spirit would be poured out on all the people. No one is excluded from this outpouring. It was not just for the rich or for the powerful, but instead it was meant for men, for women, young and old. It even refers to male and female servants. The pouring out of the Spirit has no regard to social class or to gender. In verse 22, Peter summarizes to them who Jesus is. He is a man attested to them by God. He is a man who performed mighty works. He performed wonders. He performed signs, all done while within their midst. Peter begins by declaring that God raised Jesus from the dead because it was not possible for death to hold him. Think about the power of that statement. It was not possible for death to hold Jesus. Death was no match for Jesus because he was the perfect righteous one. God raised Jesus from the dead and they are witnesses to this fact. Verse 32. And he assures them in verse 36 that God has made the man they crucified both Lord and Christ. He reminds them, or he tells them, exactly who Jesus was. And this table is meant to be a reminder of who Jesus was to us. He was the Son of God. It's meant to remind us of his birth, his life, his challenges, his teachings, his example, his birth, a simple, humble birth, born of a virgin, son of a carpenter, an immediate threat to the then King Herod, who sought to kill all male children 2 years and under. His challenges, tempted by the devil, called a blasphemer, called a fraud by those opposing him. His teachings, whether it be one-on-one with his apostles, in the midst of thousands in parables. His examples, living a life free of sin, living a life of love. His arrest, betrayed by one of his own, arrested in the cover of darkness with a band of soldiers armed with swords and clubs. His trials in both Jewish and Roman assemblies, in front of both Jewish and Roman leaders, all with the power to release him, yet none doing so. It's also meant to remind us of his death on the cross, nailed to it as a common criminal, a painful, excruciating form of punishment in front of those who challenged him, in front of those who loved and followed him. It's meant to remind us of his burial, his body wrapped in linen with spices, placed in a tomb, sealed with a large boulder and guarded by a Roman soldier. Yet, there was no power in death that would hold Jesus. His resurrection is a victory over death, and now he is sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And why all this? Because he did it for the love that he had in us. Shaden?